VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us for News Roundup Friday here today on Crosstalk. Lots of stories have been assembled together to keep you informed on what's taking place here across the nation, in Canada, and places around the world. And certainly those issues that impact faith, they impact your families, they impact freedoms, they impact the liberties that that we hold dear. And certainly we want to be understanding of the times in which we live. And certainly the call goes forth, as we have said so many times here in the broadcast, the necessity of our being salt and light. Certainly to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that's sadly in need, and certainly to be effective as salt as well. Well, friends, we're going to delve right into things, and our thanks to Sandy for putting so many stories together, Karen on the phones, Dennis in the control room, and, well, you're listening here today, and we thank you for doing so. We're going to begin in Canada because, as Newsmax.com reports, Canadian police today started arresting protesters as part of an operation to end a three-week blockade of Ottawa by hundreds of truck drivers that crippled the capital and prompted Prime Minister Trudeau to assume emergency powers. Live television footage showed police making at least seven arrests without using force, they report. CBN News says that hundreds of truckers clogging the Capitol stood their ground, defiantly blasted their horns yesterday, even as police arrested the couple of their leaders. Busloads of police arrived near Ottawa's Parliament Hill, and workers put up extra fences around government buildings. Police also essentially began sealing off much of the downtown area to outsiders to prevent them from coming to the aid of the truckers. Many of the truckers in the self-styled Freedom Convoy appeared unmoved by days of warnings from police and the government and risking arrest, and said they could see their rigs seized, bank accounts frozen. One trucker named Pat King said, "I'm prepared to sit, watch them hit me with pepper spray." He said, as the trucks were parked bumper to bumper, he said, "There's no tow trucks in Canada that will touch them." He later told truckers, "Lock your doors." LifeSiteNews.com is reporting that seven Canadian provinces now oppose an Emergencies Act declaration made Monday by Justin Trudeau, who claims that it was needed to stop the Peaceful Freedom Convoy protesters in Ottawa. The premiers of Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Quebec were the first to oppose the extreme measures made by Trudeau, but they have been now joined by the premiers of Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island as well. It is the Ontario Premier Doug Ford and British Columbia Premier John Horgan and Newfoundland and Labrador Premier Andrew Furey that said they support Trudeau in enacting the Emergencies Act. I should need to make a correction here. Prince Edward Island Premier is said the act is not needed, as did New Brunswick, but it is the Ontario and British Columbia premiers that are in support of Justin Trudeau. From WND.com, Trudeau's National Emergency Declaration, the Canadian government already has been freezing the bank accounts of people who have helped financially support the truckers protesting the government's vaccine mandates. I saw the article on one who went to put their money in an ATM and found their account blocked. Deputy Prime Minister Freeland told reporters Thursday in Ottawa that the Royal Canadian Mounted Police has shared with banks the names of both individuals and entities, as well as crypto wallets. Accounts have been frozen. More accounts will be frozen, said Freeland, who is a governor of the globalist World Economic Forum. In addition, she said, crowdfunding platforms and service payment providers have stated the registration started it with the registration process with FinTrack. That's the Financial Transactions and Reports Analysis Center of Canada. The intelligence unit that combats money laundering, along with freezing bank accounts, the unprecedented invoking of the Emergencies Act enables law Canadian enforcement to arrest protesters for obstructing roadways and to seize the vehicles. From the Daily Wire, the Canadian government issuing warnings to anyone involved in the protest, saying that in addition to freezing bank accounts and towing their trucks, they might also confiscate their pets as well. A tweet from the official account for Ottawa's Bylaw and Regulatory Services read, "Attention animal owners at demonstration. If you're unable to care for your animal as a result of enforcement actions, your animal will be placed into protective care for 8 days at your cost. After 8 days, if arrangements are not made, your animal will be considered relinquished." Let's go to, this is from Hot Air. The CEO of crowdfunding site GiveSendGold told Fox Business about half of the donations that it's receiving for the Canadian truckers' protest are coming from Americans. FoxNews.com reporting that the Canadian House of Commons erupted in shouts of condemnation Wednesday after Prime Minister Trudeau replied to a Jewish member of parliament by accusing members of the opposing Conservative Party of standing with people who wave swastikas. Now, Trudeau is a member of the Liberal Party. He made his comment in response to being grilled by a Conservative member of parliament, Melissa Lantzman, during a tense emotional question period, which occurs every sitting day in the Canadian House of Commons, where members of parliament ask questions of government ministers, including the Prime Minister. Well, Lantzman, who became the first Jewish woman to be elected as a Conservative MP last October, read a 2015 quote from Trudeau when he said, quote, "If Canadians are going to trust their government needs to trust Canadians." She threw that back at him. Conservative members, party members can stand with people. This is Trudeau's response. Conservative party members can stand with people who wave swastikas. They can stand with people who wave the Confederate flag. We will choose to stand with Canadians who deserve to be able to get to their jobs, to be able to get to their lives back. These illegal protests need to stop, and they will. The other side of the chamber erupted in response, prompting the Speaker of the House of Commons to interrupt in an attempt to restore order. He also admonished all, including the Right Honorable Prime Minister, to avoid inflammatory language in the House. Just another story here on Canada, and that is Artur Pulauski. This is from The New American. Been arrested for the fifth time since the COVID restrictions began in the province of Alberta. The arrest was yet another dramatic takedown by police, this time outside his family home. Pulauski went to the border. He was going to go to the border of Montana and Alberta to deliver a sermon, the Lord's Supper, and to pray with the truckers. Well, he simply wanted to do his job as a pastor, give them hope, said Nathaniel Pulauski. Well, Pastor Pulauski remains in solitary confinement at the Calgary Remand Center, reportedly held in quarantine in squalid conditions. He faces charges of mischief, over $5,000, interrupting the operations of essential infrastructure and breaching his condition of not keeping the peace. Last week, the Lethbridge judge, Aaron Olson, denied Pulauski bail, and during a separate hearing this past Wednesday, refused to release him on the pretext that he would not follow court orders. Thus, Pulauski remains jailed without bail until his next hearing coming up on March the 11th. From the Independent Sentinel, the vaccine mandates for cross-border truckers who are isolated in their trucks began in the U.S. A figurehead, President Biden, contacted Trudeau and asked him to institute the mandate for Canadian truckers. He also then called Trudeau to use his power to address the protest. 16 Republican governors have asked Joe Biden to reinstate vaccine waivers for truckers. In a letter released by the Office of Montana Governor, who is a signatory, the state and provincial leaders said exemptions to the requirement should be reinstated for the sake of both countries' economies. From the Epoch Times, a trucker-led convoy will kick off February 23rd from the Barstow, California area and head eastbound toward the capital of the Constitutional Republic, Washington, D.C., to peacefully protest the end of the federal government's emergency powers declared since March of 2020. And the large convoy goes by the name the People's Convoy, will be nonpartisan, cross-cultural in nature. At the start, they're expecting some 500 to 1,000 trucks gathering and depart eastward for Kingman, Arizona, and then departing from there up Interstate 40 to Lupton, Arizona, then over to Glen Rio, Texas. And they've got a number of routes there that they're going to be going. And I understand that there's routes that are coming from Cleveland and Columbus, Ohio, Fresno, California, kind of all converging, but coming from multiple different sources. Okay, well, here's an article from USA Today. Russia has sent an American diplomat home from Moscow as tensions remained at a peak yesterday in the conflict over Ukraine. NATO allies accused Russia of misleading the world and disseminating disinformation by saying it would be returning some troops to bases, charging that Moscow has instead added as many as 7,000 more troops. Russian government, meanwhile, has responded to American security proposals. In Washington, Joe Biden told reporters that the threat of Russian invasion is very high, could take place in several days. The U.S. has also been deploying troops to Poland and to Romania. Let's see, from LifeSiteNews.com, with fears brewing over a potential Russian invasion of Ukraine, President Biden's State Department has advised Americans in the Ukraine to take refuge in neighboring Poland, but only if they've been vaccinated for COVID-19. Oh, go to safety only if you've got the shot. Well, on February 11th, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan warned that the possibility of an invasion was immediate enough that any American in Ukraine should leave as soon as possible. Well, the next day, the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine published a notice that Poland had indicated to the U.S. government that U.S. citizens may now enter Poland through the land border with Ukraine without advanced approval. However, the statement went on to claim that the U.S. citizens must present a valid U.S. passport and proof of COVID-19 vaccination. Travelers are also encouraged to present a negative test result from a PCR or antigen COVID-19 test that will facilitate entry into Poland. However, Poland's own rule stated that only the vaccinations are required to avoid a potential quarantine upon entry, not that Americans would be turned away if they're not vaccinated. Well, on Tuesday, the embassy released another statement announcing that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Department of Homeland Security have determined it was in the national interest to waive proof of vaccination for entering Poland, and indicating that the rule was an American requirement, not a Polish one. Isn't that interesting? Trying to put an American requirement to get safety into Poland. The follow-up also suggests that the Biden administration reverse course after being inundated with criticism. You know, flee for your life. Go to safety. Get out. Only make sure you got the shot. Well, that was a U.S. requirement, not coming from Poland. Washington Times reporting athletes at the Beijing Winter Olympics are competing in a new sport, how to avoid being spied upon. Like it or not, it's a game that all Americans are already playing with China and unfortunately losing. The Chinese government is requiring all Olympic athletes to download an app called My 2022 during the games. But while the communists claim that the app is intended to help limit the spread of COVID, a more menacing plan has been hatched. The app can secretly record whatever you communicate, they report. Jonathan Scott, a cybersecurity expert, posted portions of the app's code to Twitter with a chilling warning, saying, quote, "I can definitively say all Olympian audio is being collected, analyzed, and saved on Chinese servers." The app reportedly uses technology from the Chinese company iFlytek, which has been blacklisted by the U.S. government. Even so, the company spent nearly $3 million between 2019 and 2021 lobbying the D.C. swamp. Well, the threat of surveillance is alarming. The FBI suggested athletes not to use their personal phones, but to use burner devices instead. We're going to take a quick break here. It's a news roundup day on Crosstalk. More stories to come as you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what's the source of natural gas?
Chris, natural gas is a result of a variety of life processes. Even the digestion of your food produces methane gas. Methane gas is also found in volcanic eruptions and in meteorites, so it's evidently a chemical that can form under a variety of conditions. A new theory has been proposed that the huge deposits of methane gas are really the inorganic outgassing of the Earth's interior. These huge pockets of pure methane in many ways don't appear to be life gases with all the impurities that would be there. I lean to such a theory myself. God created this Earth for man's good, and methane is a very good part of our existence. It's hard to know for sure, but it wouldn't surprise me from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, a news roundup day here today. Lots of different topics, lots of different stories, and certainly those that are rather impactful. This is a very interesting story that came to us from NBC News about the Canadian women's ice hockey team took home gold Thursday morning, beating their rivals, Team USA. But here is the interesting thing that they point out, and this is a major focus of their story. They said it's not just Canadians' campaign for gold that has garnered them attention at the pandemic-inflicted Winter Games. At least seven of their competing players are openly LGBTQ, making them tied for the queerest Olympic team of all time. They compare them to the Dutch women's soccer team that also had seven publicly out players who competed in the Tokyo Summer Games. Matter of fact, the headline from NBC is gold-winning Canadian women's hockey team scores a victory for gay athletes. Women's hockey gets more attention during the Olympics than any other point, said the founder of the LGBTQ sports website Outsports. When you're seeing all of these athletes in sports that just don't get a lot of attention for 4 years, having them be out in this moment is so important. According to Outsports, half of the 10 women's hockey teams in Beijing include at least one out player. But for Canada, it is seven players on the team. That's the story. Okay, let's go on to Human Rights Campaign. This is an activist LGBT organization. Their foundation announced the launch of Empower Dallas, a virtual career fair for transgender and non-binary job seekers that was held this past Wednesday, February 16th. It was touted as this: Empower Dallas is a second in a series of career fairs that aim to economically empower the transgender and non-binary community through intentional recruitment efforts made by participating companies who are also working to support transgender and non-binary inclusive workforce development efforts. During the Dallas Fair, Bank of America was the presenting sponsor, they report. Let's see, this coming to us from dailyprogress.com, Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia Wednesday signed legislation that bars school mask mandates effective March 1st, calling it a win for all Virginians, saying today we are reestablishing and restoring power back to parents. He also says, but we are also establishing our expectations that we will get back to normal, and this is the path. From PJ Media, the Centers for Disease Control has no plans to change its guidance on children wearing masks in schools. According to leak audio from a closed-door House Energy and Commerce Committee briefing obtained by Reason.com, the CDC provides guidance. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said in the recording, our guidance currently is that masking should happen in all schools right now. However, in public, Walensky has been far more encouraging, saying that at a press briefing that the agency was looking for new metrics in order to relax the mask guidance soon, but that relaxation would appear to apply to adults and not to kids in school. Speaking of schools, what an upset in San Francisco. The efforts of two frustrated San Francisco parents with students in the city's unified school district to recall three school board members was rewarded handsomely on Tuesday, reports TheNewAmerican.com. Instead of focusing on reopening the schools and following the pandemic, the board late last year went woke. It renamed a third of the schools in the district. I mean, removing names honoring historical figures like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, Patrick Henry, and others as well. The board ordered admissions policies at high-performing Lowell High School to be replaced with a lottery to force the school student body to appear more diverse. The previous admissions policy was based on grades and test scores that led to high percentage of schools from Asian ancestry attending Lowell. Well, the board, facing millions of dollars in cost overruns, spent $1 million on painting over an historic 80-year-old mural at one of the schools that depicted the life of George Washington. Well, one of the school board members was recalled with nearly 80% vote, another one at 75%, another one at 73%. Parents are frustrated, fed up with this wokeness that's going on. Okay, from LifeSiteNews.com, 221 Democrats in the House voted against a Republican measure last week that would have required public schools to allow parental opt-outs for mask mandates. Even as Democrats across the country abandoned forced masking as a political liability. But their votes are not matching that here, folks. Also, let's see, this is from WND.com. U.S. Food and Drug Administration executive disclosed in the conversation captured on hidden camera by a Project Veritas journalist that President Biden plans to require Americans to get an annual COVID-19 shot, which will be a fountain of revenue for the drug companies. Christopher Cole said Biden wants to inoculate as many people as possible, but you have to get an annual shot, he said. I mean, it isn't been formally announced yet because they don't want to, like, rile everyone up, he said on the recording. It'll be recurring fountain of revenue. It might not be that much initially, but it'll be recurring if they can. If they can get every person required and an annual vaccine that's recurring return of money going into their company. And he said that despite the lack of safety and efficacy data that the FDA would grant emergency use authorization for COVID-19 shots for children from 6 months to 5 years of age. Well, the FDA said in a statement on the Project Veritas video that the person purportedly in the video does not work on vaccine matters and does not represent the views of the FDA. Cole is an executive officer leading the agency's countermeasures initiative that helps ensure drugs, vaccines, and other measures to counter infectious diseases and viruses are safe. LifeSiteNews.com also reporting to us that the Big Apple, New York, fired some 1,430 city employees. Yeah, NYC. Fired them for refusing to comply with the vaccine mandate. Thousands more public jobs hanging in the balance. Yahoo reported that the terminations included 36 workers with the police department, 25 with fire, 914 working in public education, but most of the fired workers had gone without pay since November. Almost 10,000 more jobs, potentially on the chopping block, though, that are on appeals right now for exemptions for medical and religious reasons that are pending. LifeSite also reporting that the nation's capital dropped a vaccine mandate for businesses Tuesday, once again allowing people to enter restaurants and other public venues without proof of the vax, though the jabs will remain compulsory for students. The move lifts requirements for gyms and restaurants and entertainment venues to check that patrons 12 and older have one shot or risk losing their licenses. Businesses can continue to demand that for their own accord if they so desire. But no, keep the jab requirement for students. And let's see, LifeSite also reporting on Amazon. Introduced new COVID guidelines for staff, easing restrictions for employees who've received inoculations against the virus. Their memo to workers went out February 10th that face masks would no longer be a requirement for fully vaccinated within the U.S. And accordingly, those who have received a full regimen will be eligible to receive a badge sticker. After logging their vaccine status and the company's A to Z reporting tool, identifying them as being fully vaxxed, granting them the option to work without a face covering where permitted by local regulations, and others who don't have that don't receive the same kind of freedom. From WND.com, asked to provide a legal opinion on hospitals in the state banning doctors from prescribing certain treatments for COVID-19, South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson concluded doctors have the authority to prescribe drugs for the disease off-label, such as ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, saying, quote, our doctors as well as their patients need to know that doctors have the right to make important medical decisions as long as they have the informed consent of their patients, he wrote in his opinion. He said, in fighting COVID, the doctors should be given the broadest possible leeway. Again, he is coming out of the state of South Carolina. See what they did in Australia? It was a Catholic church that was going on in session. And as they were involved in their service, police officers interrupted the service to make sure everybody was meeting mask requirements. Unbelievable. Just going in right in the midst of a service. Doesn't matter what denomination it is, folks. This is that. What an infringement. And police evidently found that there were five people that were not wearing masks, that they got them to quickly comply. And one person provided proof of exemption for them, but going right into the church service. This came from Senator Ron Johnson early afternoon today. He said press release on Wednesday, the U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, along with Senator Mike Braun of Indiana and Mike Lee of Utah, announced legislation to protect doctors, patients, and prescribers. They're calling it the Right to Treat Act. Write down the number. It's S-3670, the Right to Treat Act, S-3670. That would be a bill in the United States Senate. Will reaffirm that no federal agency has the authority to regulate the practice of medicine and that no federal law, rule, or regulation of policy will prohibit or restrict the lawful prescribing or dispersing of any FDA-approved drug or right-to-try drug. Senator Johnson said this. He said the pandemic exposed the fact that many doctors no longer call the shots when it comes to treating patients. The COVID cartel does. The COVID cartel includes the Biden administration, federal health agencies, big pharma, mainstream media, and big tech. The Right to Treat Act would ensure that federal health agencies return to their proper functions of gathering and providing public health data and regulating drug safety, not telling doctors how to practice medicine. Because federal health agencies sabotaged the early treatment of COVID-19 using widely available and safe generic drugs, an untold number of people needlessly died from COVID-19. Americans and doctors should have the freedom to use fully approved drugs without fear of reprisal. It's time to once again let doctors be doctors and allow them to fully practice medicine. Hear, hear. Folks, this is the Right to Try Act. Senator Johnson introduced it along with Senator Brown and Senator Mike Lee. It is S-3670. Troubling story coming out of the UK. This is LifeSiteNews.com. Over the past few years, an entire industry aimed at providing transgender accessories to children has sprung up to meet and drive the demand for gender-bending supplies. Children hooked on the idea of changing genders through peer contagion or internet trans celebrities can now order gear online without their parents' knowledge. Internet influencers coach kids on how to lie to their parents or get doctors to prescribe for them hormones. One new app could connect gender-confused kids to hormone treatment for less than $100 a month. It may be accurate to say that this pandemic of gender confusion could not have happened without the internet. Now a Daily Mail report indicates that children are crowdfunding their sex change surgeries online. A 13-year-old, Emily Walden of the UK, who appeared on the BBC to talk about being transgender, currently crowdfunding his sex change. He has been on puberty blockers to stop the biological male body slipping into puberty, as the Mail put it. Since he was 12, his parents purchased his puberty blockers privately, and they've raised £14,000 on GoFundMe for this purpose. According to Stephanie Davies-Array, founder of Transgender Trend, the children are sidestepping the National Health Service, which has warned of some of the long-term dangers of these treatments. But many private clinics at home and abroad are willing to do what the NHS will not. And children convinced that they are trans are obsessed with transitioning. Hundreds of children and teens have apparently already done this, going to crowdfunding for sex change surgeries to harm their bodies, folks. To mutilate their bodies. Unbelievable. And My Christian Daily also reporting in New Zealand. New Zealand's parliament has passed legislation that will ban conversion therapy across the country. It is now outlawed after a bill that was introduced by the government last year passed near unanimously. Only 8 politicians voted against it. Friends, I've got a few more stories I must share with you after the break, so stay with us. This is Crosstalk coming your way on the VCY American Network.
Do you find yourself guilty of committing the same sin over and over again? You confess it, but you find yourself repeating it again. The Bible tells us that we are to mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh. For believers, this becomes a daily challenge as the internal struggles ensue. Sadly, many fall into repeating patterns of sin and struggle sincerely with knowing how to break free. In the book, Killing Sin Habits, author Stuart Scott addresses the repetitive nature and pattern of sin and the hindrances that keep people from overcoming their sinful habits. He also provides practical insight as to how God, through the work of the Holy Spirit and radical faith, can help you have victory over sin in your life. He addresses the issue of genuine repentance and provides a detailed battle plan for killing sin habits in our lives. The booklet, Killing Sin Habits, is available for a donation of $12 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, a news roundup day here today. And I know I probably have another a full program of stories here, but there's some things I really would like to get through to you because it's becoming so in vogue today to mock God. Scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. But yet we see the tendency, and it's in vogue to mock God. Don't do it to Allah. Don't do it to Muhammad. But God, Jesus, it's okay. And a story coming to us from Reformation Charlotte indicates that the most dishonorable thing you can do to God is to blaspheme him by depicting him as something he hates. God has made it clear that he is to be honored and to worship rightly and in truth. Despite this, these false churches are masquerading as the tolerant and inclusive, continue to store up wrath for themselves on the day of judgment, they write. A Canadian church called St. Mary's Road United Church in Manitoba recently put out a video that contained a skit of one of the performers dressed in drag and playing the part of God answering telephone prayers. Hello, my child. It's so nice to hear from you, says a person dressed in drag playing the part of God after a phone call. After a short back and forth, the drag queen blaspheming God answers, I see all of you. I see your suffering. I see your pain. I see the places in your life where you need help and guidance. I will be here. I am hope. I am light. I am. The person blasphemes. They may laugh now, but there is a time of judgment that is coming forth. God will not be mocked. We found that NARAL Pro-Choice America sent out an email to individuals today with this. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer just announced that the Senate will vote on the Women's Health Protection Act when they return from recess on February 28th. We need to act quickly, team. Right now, the anti-choice supermajority in the Supreme Court is poised to overturn Roe v. Wade, and state lawmakers continue to ramp up their attacks on abortion through a barrage of bans and restrictions. This is an all-hands-on-deck moment, friend. Will you rush an urgent gift to NARAL Pro-Choice America? This is not a drill, friend. If extremist lawmakers get their way and the Supreme Court overturns Roe, 28 states are poised to ban abortion and millions of people could lose access to abortion care. There's no time to waste. Rush your urgent gift to NARAL right now and help create a future where reproductive freedom truly is for everybody. Well, friends, it's not for the babies that they are killing in the womb. NewAmerican.com is reporting three major Republican-dominated states, Florida, Arizona, and West Virginia, got closer this week to enacting legislation that would ban abortions after 15 weeks. CBN News reporting that Arizona Senator Nancy Bardo, the Republican sponsor of their bill, said she hopes the high court upholds the Mississippi law. She said the state has an obligation to protect life, and that is what this bill is about. A 15-week-old baby in the womb has a fully formed nose, lips, eyelids. They suck their thumbs. They feel pain. That's what this bill is about, she said. Friends, in my book, it shouldn't be at any age. We should not allow abortion at all. It is a taking. It is a killing of innocent human life. Let's go to lifenews.com. Colorado pro-life advocates received the go-ahead Wednesday to begin collecting signatures for a ballot measure that would make it illegal to abort an unborn baby. Pro-lifers need a nearly 125,000 valid signatures if they want Initiative 56 to appear on the November ballot, Colorado Newsline reports. The initiative would ban all abortions by prohibiting the murder of a child from the moment his or her life begins under Colorado law. Exceptions would be allowed if the mother's life is at risk. Life News is reporting that Joe Manchin, moving again to be one of the most powerful members of the Senate. The pro-life Democrat from West Virginia is the only member of the Senate Democrat caucus to oppose abortion, but his position is putting him in a powerful spot as he works with pro-life Republicans to oppose any efforts to weaken or remove the Hyde Amendment that has stopped taxpayer funding of abortions for decades. When Joe Biden took over the White House, he did so with a promise to abortion activists that he would work with congressional Democrats to overturn the Hyde Amendment. But repealing this provision, Manchin said, would eliminate over 40 years of bipartisan precedent. Attempting to eliminate it over his objections would leave Senate Democrats with only 49 votes, not enough to pass a Hydeless budget bill, even in reconciliation. LifeNews.com is reporting the only way that abortion advocates and the liberals can justify killing babies and abortions is to take away their humanity. Because if unborn children are truly just clumps of cells instead of unique human beings, then abortion is no big deal. For decades, the scientific world has known that unborn children are living human beings whose lives begin at conception. Their hearts begin beating before any mother knows that she's pregnant, and their body begins to develop very quickly, well before abortions are routinely done to end their little lives. But in the latest bit of scientific revisionism, the New York Times is falsely claiming that unborn babies do not have beating hearts. Language has not long been a battleground, and the sparring now centers on a word with deep resonance, heartbeat. The consensus among most medical experts is that the electrical activity picked up on the ultrasound 6 weeks is not the sound of a heart beating and does not guarantee a live birth. The sound unexpected mothers hear during a scan is created by the machine itself, they say, that translates the waves of electrical activity into something audible. That's hogwash, folks. And that contention is completely false. New York Times disguises the truth, attempts to manipulate the public into believing something different from what they know to be true. It's not about truth. It's all about deception. The Senate voted to confirm Robert Califf this week. That's Joe Biden's radically pro-abortion FDA nominee. The vote 50-46. A handful of Republicans joined most Democrats to support the confirmation. Six Republicans joined the Democrats to invoke cloture and to end the debate. Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Richard Burr, North Carolina, Mitt Romney, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, Roy Blunt of Missouri. The article says that Collins and Murkowski are no surprise given that they support abortion, but Burr, Romney, Toomey, and Blunt are usually pro-life votes in the Senate, and pro-life groups which lobbied hard against Califf's nomination are disappointed with their votes. Jihad Watch reporting in Dearborn, Michigan, the man who set fire to the mosque and, you know, all this Islamophobia stuff turned out to be Muslim. Isn't that interesting? And I saw one other story here, too, and I guess I will have to find it. Oh, yes. Out of France, a man who vandalized the Muslim prayer room also turned out to be Muslim as well. Okay. Tell you what, let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to call in, weigh in on any of these issues, or if you want to speak to another current event or news item, since we cannot get to all stories here on the program, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829 today for Crosstalk. I'd like to read you a piece that came out yesterday from American Life League. Something for you to think about. Here's what they write. President Joe Biden has declared that his nomination to replace retiring United States Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer will be a black woman. According to American Life League Executive Vice President Hugh Brown, Biden's best candidate was likely aborted 40-some years ago. More than 862,320 babies are aborted every year in the United States, and 38% of them are the children of black women, explained Brown. By the sheer mathematics, one quarter of the black infants aborted after Roe v. Wade in the mid to late 70s would have grown up to be today's women in their 40s. In a society that's growing even more sensitive to racial inequality, it's unbelievable that the spotlight is not shining brightly on the disproportionate numbers of abortions committed on black women, added Brown. Disparate 86% of Planned Parenthood's abortion facilities are located within walking distance of low-income and minority communities. When you look at the facts, Planned Parenthood is clearly remaining true to the original eugenic intentions of its founder, Margaret Sanger, and her racist objectives of preventing black births. The following information shows how a black child is 2.33 more times likely to be killed in the womb than a white child. The CDC abortion surveillance report states that white women have 132 abortions for every 1,000 live births. Black women have 459 abortions for every 1,000 live births. Thus, a child conceivable of a black woman has a 33.4% chance of being killed in the womb. A child conceived of a white woman has a 14.3% chance of being killed in the womb. Thus, a black child is 2.33 times more likely to be killed in the womb than a white child. And national abortion statistics from the CDC show that 38% of abortions are done on non-Hispanic black mothers. Using this data, per year estimate, 134,850. Per day, 369. Per hour, 15. And this is happening while abortion, supporting politicians, claim to be concerned about the needs of minorities, Brown said. Where are the voices speaking up for black lives being taken by abortion? Where are the hands reaching out to help women of color bear and rear their babies? They say that the pro-life community is the only voice being raised in support of these voiceless children and their parents. It is clear that President Biden, a vocal proponent of abortion on demand for any reason, has failed to see the obvious irony of his announcement of his intention to appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court. We urge those with open eyes to take this opportunity to speak out against the genocide occurring against babies of all colors in America at the hands of abortion profiteers. That's coming from American Life League. Let's go to the phone lines. Kevin in South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Jim. Just listening to this story that you're recording or reporting on, and well, one's heart just pains for as we hear and see what the depravity of man and the sinfulness of man. But I guess I just wanted to say there's a Bible verse. I can't quote scripture and the verse, but I just think of the one as listening to what you're talking about today, and God's patience means salvation. And I think about that beginning of time when God looked down the corridors of time and he's all-knowing, said, you know, there is coming a time when enough's enough. And so he is bearing with us in his patience that we may come to salvation, for those who don't know him. So the pain is one word on one's heart, and think of his heart and the pain in God's heart. And yet one day he said, enough's enough, and it will come to an end. And thank you, Jim. That's what I wanted to comment on.
Thank you, Kevin. Zach in River Falls, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say I think the reason why the globalists and the communists go after the kids with masks and jabs is to make the kids compliant for future use.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to add to that, I think these people that are pro-choice on everything, anything goes, people can decide for themselves. I think it's important that... you stand for something, fight for something. Because if you don't stand for something,
fall for anything.
You'll fall for anything. Yeah. Thanks for finishing up for me, Jim.
God bless you, Zach. Thanks for the call today.
Yep.
Paul in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Patriot Post is reporting today, and you may have already reported on this. I apologize if it's redundant. But right now, with all the tough rhetoric coming out of the White House against Russia and the Ukraine, meanwhile, we're importing 12 to 26 million barrels of crude oil from Russia with love.
Hmm.
How is that possible?
Yeah. Wonderful question, Paul. I don't know the numbers there, but that's a very troubling aspect to it. We were energy independent, okay? Exporters. What's happened to America, folks? Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Well, it's making national news with many because recently Joe Biden appointed as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition in the Office of Nuclear Energy in the Department of Energy, young man known as Sam Brenton. Well, he is promoting the LGBTQ lifestyle and, according to reports and pictures, often dresses as a drag queen. He goes on to talk about things that, frankly, you don't want to know about, and we're not talking about on Christian radio. What does all this tell us? It tells us Romans 1 is coming to pass. God reveals in his word that when he gives over a nation, you see the flourishing of certain things. The worship of nature, aren't we seeing that? Pantheism, all is God, pantheism, God is in all, the worship of nature. And one of the other things you see is the mainstreaming of the homosexual lifestyle, perversion beyond belief. Now is the time to repent. I'm Brandon House for the Worldview Report.
We've got a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. If you want to comment on one of the stories we shared with you or other current event news story, our number 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Let's go to Arkansas. Alice, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. You know, America has great problems because of great immorality. Rome fell because of the debauchery and the horridness within that country. Now, this week I've learned from another news source that on college campuses, federally funded, is free sex all week. And one of the games that was to be played was Wheel of Fornication. Mm. I hate to even say this. It breaks my heart. Yeah. God made marriage. God expects people to be virgins. That's what he wants when they marry, both male and female. Now, God forgives, thank God, sin. He does. And people can be happy, but to think it's just being free, taunted. God did say that he would laugh at their calamity and mock when their fear cometh. God will have the last say. Everybody will be at the judgment day, and everybody will bow, and they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, my wonderful Lord, my wonderful Christ, who loved this world and died for all.
Yes, indeed. And you know, Alice, again, the scripture says one day every knee will bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God bless you. Thank you for the call, Alice. We've got Victoria calling next. Hi, Victoria. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. I'm from Pleasant Prairie. I just read on Living Waters' YouTube channel with Ray Comfort. I got an update that says comedian Heather McDonald was in Arizona at an improv, and she says, oh, she got the COVID vaccines, and she's double boosted and double vaxxed. And then she says, quote, clearly Jesus loves me the most. And then she says, so nice, so nice. And she starts getting really woozy, and she falls backward, and she hit her head.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in a went to the hospital. Then there was another lady too in 2008. She had a very evil TV show that Vic Eliason had said it was called GCB. I don't even want to say what the name is. It was a very blasphemous TV show. And this Kristen Chenoweth got hit by a stage light, and she was in the hospital for a long time with a coma. So clearly, God is not mocked.
Thank you, Victoria. Appreciate your call. And folks, there are troubling things that are going on in our world, and I'm sure there were great celebrations that were going on in places like Sodom and Gomorrah, and we saw that judgment came. And judgment's going to come once again, and that's why our plea so often has been to turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior. While there's still opportunity, while there's still time, the Bible says today is a day of acceptance. Today is the day of salvation. Would like to tell you a story here. This is First Liberty that is out of Texas, who is representing a individual who is a pharmacist with CVS. We understand that they are representing her because she is being fired for refusing to dispense contraception. We understand that she had been hired by CVS with that understanding, but they said, we represent Robin Strader, who worked as a nurse practitioner for 6.5 years at a CVS Pharmacy Minute Clinic in Keller, Texas. Before her first day in the job, she asked for a religious accommodation not to prescribe contraception, and upon hiring her, CVS agreed to accommodate her religious beliefs. For the next 6.5 years, CVS accommodated her with no issues. On the rare occasion someone requested contraception, she referred them to the other nurse practitioner at her location to another CVS located 2 miles away. However, In August, they announced that all nurses must perform essential services related to pregnancy prevention. Soon after that, or on about August 28, 2021, Ms. Strader's manager suddenly informed her that her supervisor said CVS would no longer honor religious accommodations regarding pregnancy prevention services, and said that Ms. Strader had no religious accommodation on file with CVS. September 23rd, her manager said that if she did not change her beliefs about contraception, they would fire her on October 31st. Her manager repeatedly pressured her to change her beliefs. CVS failed to timely respond to the three letters that she wrote requesting a religious accommodation on October 31, 2021, terminated her after firing her. CVS claimed that she never requested a religious accommodation and that accommodating her would cause CVS an undue hardship. Well, they discriminated against her on the basis of religion, and they have filed action now against CVS. And certainly you can pray for First Liberty as they represent her. Well, friends, I don't want all doom and gloom here. I do want to share with you a story that also came to us from the Epoch Times. Two Alabama parents homeschool their 10 children, with all of them graduating high school at the mere age of 12. Yes, graduating high school at age 12. And now all 10 of them are rocketing forward in their respective areas of interest. High school sweethearts Kip and Mona Lisa Harding, both 53, have raised their kids to believe that if it's their calling, God will help them achieve it. The children, who range in age from 34 now to 11, have this can-do attitude and have chosen different areas of study. A daughter has a mathematics degree, age 34, works as a math tutor. Youngest graduate of college, age 17, with a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics. Rosanna, 32, is an architect in New York City, with the youngest member of the American Institute of Architects in 2013. Serena, now 31, became the youngest Navy doctor at the age of 22, now a physician living in D.C. There's Heath, 26, Troy University's youngest graduate with a Bachelor of Science at age 17, now working in Florida using his degree. Keith has a counseling degree in D.C., works as an American Sign Language translator, also his music degree at the age of 15. There's Seth, 21, scripted history, became Alabama's youngest lawyer at the age of 19 years old. Katrina is going to be beating her at age 18, becoming an attorney there. On and on it goes. But parents who are seeing their God-given talents and role as parents and instilling in them their values and education and beliefs, and my, how God is blessing. We trust you, too. Surrender to the Lord and say, God, here am I. Use me. Here am I. Send me. Help me make a difference in this world in which I live. Our time is gone here today on Crosstalk. Thanks for listening. By the way, the Lord's Day is coming. May you be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. God bless you.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.